Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
You know, Jesus is the King of all kings, the one and only. You know, I like to say it this way. Let's move this thing. The God of the universe. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you are the one and only King. You're the one and only God. There are none beside you. There are none before you, and we will serve no other God. We glorify you as the one and only. We give you all the glory, praise, and honor. Because the only goodness that there is in this earth came from you. The only mercy in this earth came from you. The only thing, the only wisdom in this earth, it came from you. We are wholly dependent on you, sir. And we will praise you and give you glory forever. In Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus is just awesome. I think sometimes we don't really get how awesome he is. I feel like the Father just wants to pour himself into you. You know, it's hard for us to grasp how much God loves with us. And loves being with us. And one of the great comparisons is a person who's never had a child who has a child. And the minute they, both mom and dad, unless there's something wrong with them, the minute they have that child, they are in love with that kid. They love them. They put the child before themselves. They care, they want to protect and love, and they want to do everything for the kid, even if it costs them. That's our Father. And I find that amazing. You know, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we still, well, we still stink, let's be honest. But when we were really stinking, he died in order that we could have this relationship. And he did it as a gift to the Father because the Father wanted us, loved us that much. I heard this definition. I like to listen to what the language scholars say about the scriptures, because a lot of times we think we, you know, maybe we've heard a scripture preached many times, we've heard it over and over, we think we know what a word means, but when we listen to someone who has really studied the language, sometimes they bring something out and you think, well, I didn't know that's what it meant. That happened to me about a week and a half ago. I was listening to a Greek scholar. And he was talking about the word agape. And he brought out the fullness of what this word means. And this will stun you, because remember, agape is the kind of love. I've got the word is mentioned over 200 times in the New Testament. And it's the description of how God loves us, but it's also in the commands where we are to love, it's how we are to love. And I'd always heard agape meant unconditional love. But that's like a neat little package, isn't it? But listen to this. Agape occurs when an individual sees, recognizes, understands, or appreciates the value of an object or person, causing the viewer to behold that object or person in great esteem. Listen to this. In great awe, admiration, wonder, and sincere appreciation. So think about it. God looked at humans like that even when we were in rank sin, even if we were not saved. And you know why? Because we were his baby. He loved us without reason because we were not very lovely. Now think about this. Think about what a new baby does to earn your love. They poop. They cry. Sometimes they scream. They pee on you. Sometimes they throw up on you. Now if an adult did that, would you want to hang around with them? Oh, wait, no. But if your kid does that, you are so in love with this kid that you don't see that. Let me go on. I'm not done with this definition. It draws something out of the heart. Such great respect is awakened in the heart of the observer for the object or person he is beholding that he's compelled to love it. In fact, his love for that person or object is so strong it is irresistible. It is an irresistible kind of love. So God wants us to understand that's how he sees us. Does that mean he doesn't have judgment sometimes? Yeah, he does. And sometimes, I've seen, it's hard to watch sometimes, but I've seen where sometimes, for the sake of the body, he has to issue judgment when a wolf comes in. Right? Yeah. The New Testament talks about people who come in to do damage to the body. They come in, they're like wolves in sheep's clothing. And so it's not that God doesn't love the wolf, but he will not let them, because for the sake of those that he loves. So judgment is still part of this agape thing. But God, I found it so interesting. That's the way he looks at us without reason, if you ask me. You know, even those of us who are born again, I don't think we're worthy of that kind of love, and yet he loves us that way. And the picture I saw as we were worshiping was God wanting to pour into you the understanding of who he is. You know, a couple weeks ago, I felt like he asked me to preach on the nature of God, and I never felt less qualified to preach on anything in my life. We know God by faith in his word. I know him by some experiences, but I don't actually think there's any human, unless they've had a death experience. I don't mean near death, I mean death. There have been some people who died for a few minutes and were brought back, who have encountered God. Isaiah encountered God like that. To me, those are the only people who can really talk about him. And even then, you know what their problem is? There's no words on earth that can describe him. So I said, well, Lord, I'd love to, but I don't really have the ability to do that. But I felt like he said, well, just look at agape then. Look through the Bible and talk about that, because what does it say about him? He is love. He is love. So one of the, in my journey with this, I started looking at the fruits of the Spirit, because the very first fruit of the Spirit is love, which means, remember now, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit and he begins to manifest himself, we should be seeing love. And I'll tell you the honest truth, I think most of us don't, most of us have not loved people. I've really only ever met two people that I saw the love of God flow through. Now, I mean, there's tons of Christians who have good behavior because it's what you're supposed to do, okay? I'm not talking about that. That's good. But I saw two people where I saw the love of God flow through them, and in both cases, it came through their eyes. And it was not something a human can work out, but what happened, you know, you can't work this up. But in both cases, I tell you, in the first case, it was a biker. Now, I grew up in a very sheltered, very straight, you know, very proper house in a very proper community, and we always did what was proper. And bikers were people who were far, far away on the other side of the road, and I was scared of them. But I met a biker evangelist, and he was scary. He was like 6'9". Some of you may know him. Big guy. Still wears the patch, the glasses, the bandana. I mean, if you see him in church, it's like, and he's a gentle giant is what he is. And he's an evangelist to the outlaw bikers. Well, he invited me to his house for a biker party. And I'm thinking, no. And God said, yeah, you're going. And to be honest, I was like, well, how's that going to work? God just said, just go. Well, it ended up to be one of the best times ever. There were people there who were very saved, very much in love with Jesus. Some who had come off of drugs. They were drinking a beer, but they had come off of, you know, heavy drugs. There were radically unsaved people there. There was just it was a motley crew. And I saw God do amazing things that day. I was amazed by what he did. But one of the things the reason I brought this up, they introduced me to this man. He was a biker guy. And I just looked at him to say hello. And when I looked in his eyes, I saw the love of the Father. He was loving me through his eyes. It was the first time I'd ever seen it. Until I met Edgar, I never saw it again. Not like that. And I remember, you know, if you ever run into the real love of God, you're undone. You don't have anything you can say. It's so amazing. And when I met Edgar, you know, I judged him in the flesh, right? Because, you know, I grew up with all these propriety things, and he didn't have any of that. None. And so I was being a little critical. I thought he was too abrupt. I thought he was too loud. I thought he was a blowhard, meaning he's braggadocious. You know, he's talking about all these great miracles he'd done, but what he was really doing was bragging on Jesus. I just didn't get it. You know, I was kind of dull. But what I noticed was as I got to know him, he had these moments, it wasn't 24/7, where the love of God would pour through his eyes for someone. A friend of mine told me years later, she said, Edgar was the only person, only leader that ever made her feel like a real person. And I thought, boy, that doesn't say much for the rest of us. That meant he took the time to love her with that love of God because to him, she was important. It wasn't just a job he was getting done. And I think one of the things I noticed as I was looking at the fruit of the Spirit is one of the things that began to occur to me is, you know, it says faith works by love, right? It took me years to understand that, and I had to watch Edgar doing miracles before I understood how faith works by love. It says that there's faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these in love is love. But how many sermons have you heard on faith? Hundreds, for if you're me, hundreds, literally hundreds of sermons on faith. One sermon on hope. I never heard a sermon on love. One mini book. Doesn't that seem a little, yeah, it's a little out of kilter, isn't it? And one thing that, as I was reading about the fruits of the Spirit, it occurred to me, the fruit of the Spirit, this won't be an exciting message because our flesh, we want to talk about power and the gifts and raising the dead and healing the sick. And you know why? That is a tangible thing where we get to see maybe ourself being used in some great way. Because it's all about us. Oh, that went over like a lead balloon, didn't it? But if you look at who we are a people, are all people, all races. So when I say a race, the entire race of humankind came from Adam. And Adam's nature, after he was deceived by Satan, became all about Adam, all about self. And when we were born with that nature. So when a baby cries, it's not for you. He's hungry. I want something. I want it now. And as people grow up, you can tell how mature somebody is in Christ by how much they've been willing to step back and let somebody else go forward. That also went over like a lead balloon. But maturity, it's not being able to operate in the gifts. If we think we're greatly used of God and we show up before him, he may say, depart from me, I never knew you. We never had that relationship. We weren't close. We weren't one. But Lord, didn't I prophesy in your name? Didn't I do all these miracles? And he's going to go, do die for you. He's not interested in that. What is he interested in? See, we've made something important that I don't think is important to him. The gifts are a byproduct. They're not the thrust. They're not the center theme. The center theme is to walk in love. Jesus, I'm way ahead of myself, but I want to read that. I know you all know this scripture. Matthew 22, when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said, you will love the Lord, agape, the Lord your God, with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And I looked it up, and it really does say hang, as though you had two hooks on a wall. Love God, love your neighbor, and all the commandments in the old covenant, every law there was hung on that. It was the purpose for it. So just for fun, I'll tell you one of the laws in the old covenant. It says when you build a house, make sure there's a parapet on the roof. That's a fence that goes around the edge. That seems like an odd law. Now, you could make that a law. Well, you know, how big should we make it? How wide should we make it? But the purpose of it was You didn't want someone to be hurt because in those days, it was hot out, right? In their country, it was very hot. So one of the things you did to cool off was you went on the roof. Remember, David saw Bathsheba? He was on the roof. People went, well, why was he on the roof gazing at Bath? Well, because he was hot. That's what you did. And so the idea of the parapet was God didn't want you to allow anyone to be hurt. The definition of that law was love, right? And so it actually says if we walk in love, we fulfill the law. And I guess what I'm saying is I feel like God wants us to become like him in this. And one of the things about Edgar was raised up under a man, some of you might remember, some of you older folks might remember Merlin Crothers. Merlin Crothers was a pastor in California, and he's the guy that kind of raised Edgar up and discipled him. And one of his things, one of his most important priorities was to walk in the love of God. So Edgar began at a very, well, he didn't get saved till he was in his 50s. But one of the first things he began to pray was that he would love people. Every morning he prayed that they would see the love of God on us, that the love of Christ would shine through us. Right? And because I wondered for years, why is it so easy for him to get people saved? Why is it so easy for him to get people healed? I didn't realize until I asked the Lord to show me what? Well, that's what. He was praying that every day for years and years and years, at least 25 that I know of, but probably longer. And what happened is when he would witness to somebody, that love of God would pour through him, and no one could resist it. Because some people have never, even one time, been really loved. There are people in your neighborhood that have never one time felt anyone love or care for them. Ever.
Can you say that again? What did he pray every day?
Yeah. You know, I actually should issue it. It's a prayer he prayed. It was quite long, but he said, and I don't have it memorized, I'm sorry to say, but it's let the anointing of Christ be on us. Let the love of Christ shine through us. Let them see Jesus in us. There was more to it, and but I actually do have it. Maybe I'll post it on the website or something so people can get it. But he prayed that every morning. And see, I found it kind of by reverse engineering. I was like, how? Because I would witness to people, and they would just get irritated, you know, to be honest. And you know why? I wasn't witnessing to them because I loved them so much. Or that he didn't want him to go to hell. He didn't want anybody to go to that terrible place. He had a passion that they would know Jesus and know the love of God. He cared about them. He couldn't go, we would be in a car and we'd see somebody that was obviously in pain. Maybe they were bent over. Sometimes he would weep because he had so much compassion because they were hurting. That's a work of the Father. And you know where he got that? Because he was so hungry for Jesus Christ when he first got saved. He wouldn't sleep. He literally would fast from sleep for days on end seeking the Lord because he just wanted Jesus. He wasn't seeking a ministry. You know why most of us fast and pray? Because we want to be used of God. Because it's all about me. Come on. I know this might not be everybody, but I know that I've had to deal with this in my heart. We're selfish people. That's our flesh nature, which is Adam's nature. And I remember, boy, I wasn't going to go here, but I might as well. You might as well know all my dirt. I was praying one night on the porch years and years ago. And it was like God pulled a veil aside over my heart. And I saw my motives. And I have to tell you, I went, ew. See, I wanted all the good stuff, right? I wanted to help people and get people saved, get people healed. I wanted to do all the good ministry stuff. But a lot of my motives was because that would make me feel validated. Yeah, you know what I said? Ew. Pew. That's disgusting. But you know what it really is? It's just the nature of our flesh. It's nothing to be condemned about. That is Adam's nature. And unless your spirit man has been taken out of your body, you have it. It's there somewhere. Okay? And what God began to show me, he took me through the word, and he began to show me, see, before the fall, before Adam fell, who was he just like? He was just like God. Before he fell into sin, he was in the exact nature and image of God. God created him in his own image. So he loved like God loved. Adam did. He did. And so God began to show me, how does God love? Well, before Adam, how did he love? We don't know of other people. We don't know. There's people who argue about it. I don't know. I don't care. But before that happened, how did God's love manifest? Think about it. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father said about the Son that he would make his name the name above every name, even his own. The Son said, I didn't come to do my own will, but the will of my Father who sent me, bringing all glory to the Father. The Son said, if you blaspheme the Father, if you blaspheme the Son, it'll be forgiven you. But if you blaspheme that Holy Spirit, it will never be forgiven you, elevating him. Their nature, there's a Bible verse that says, in honor, giving preference to the other. Do you know our Adamic, our Adam nature doesn't like to do that, does it? It wants to be first, it wants to be recognized, it wants to be honored, and toot-toot-toot, blow the horn. That's our flesh nature, and it stinks. But Adam, before the fall, his nature, he was made in the image of God, so he must have had that same love. But when he fell, it says he took on Satan's nature. And what do we know about Satan? Me, 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 me. Satan said he would take the throne of God. Are you kidding? He wanted to rise above the heights. He wanted to be the one in charge. Everything he did was about himself. And all of his imps, all of his demons, it's all about self. And so when they get a hold of you, it's all about you. It's all about your glory. You're being seen of men. That's what Satan wants to do. And he wants to do it in the church. Come on. Have you ever been in a church? And I love the church. I'm not railing on the church. But have you ever been somewhere where over the years it got skewed and it became about self? Where it became about our kingdom instead of his kingdom. I'm not putting anybody down. That's human nature. But it's not supposed to be our nature when we're dealing with the body of Christ. So when I saw this in the Word, I began to see, you are asking us, Father, to have this. You gave us your Spirit. And by the way, when Jesus died, he died in order to give us the same nature that we gave away in the garden. I say we. By way of Adam, the same exact nature that Adam gave away to the dumb devil, Jesus died to give us access back into that garden state. That's why he died. It wasn't just to forgive us. It was to give us his own nature again. He tricked the devil because he was brilliant. And if the devil would have known, the Bible says he'd have never crucified him. If he would have known this plan, he'd have never crucified Jesus. So what he did, Jesus made a plan that outsmarted the devil. And what he did was he said, okay, I will not just forgive you, I will recreate you in a born-again spirit that's pure, it's holy, it's like me, it has all my abilities, all my gifts, it has your spirit, your born-again spirit, which lives where? In your physical body, which contains what? Adam's nature. Right? So we have, read Romans 7, Paul talks about it. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. He said, the thing I want to do, I don't do. The thing I don't want to do, that's what I do. There was a war on in him. He was warring because the thing he knew in his spirit, man, he knew what was right. He wanted to do what was right. And he did more right than anybody I know. Right? He was a phenomenal man of God, did amazing things for the kingdom. Yet he still understood that in his flesh, he said, in my flesh dwells no good thing. You can't trust it, right? And if I leave it to its own nature, I'm going to be a stinker. So we have this continual choice before us which to walk out of, don't we? And if you backslide, one of the dangers of backsliding, well, the real danger is you can backslide right out of your relationship with God, which holds everything together, because nothing works outside a relationship. Ooh, boy, I don't want to say it. Over the hundreds of years since Jesus came, I actually think what happened was that as a body, such darkness came into the church because Satan was working on us. He was working on it, working on it, working on it to bring deception and lies into the church so that we no longer operated the way the apostles did. And we lost sight of love and we began to see, well, maybe it's about being used. Maybe it's about this program or that program. And people have gotten so skilled at raising up programs that look like a move of the Holy Ghost, but they're not. They look good. They seem good. Yeah. And it's so skilled that a lot of times people think it is the Holy Ghost. Yeah. And I'm not condemning anybody. I'm just trying to get us to come into a new thing. God has something for us that is so far beyond what we've seen or known. And all of us, it's for all of us, and it's free. He paid for it. And by the way, you have the capacity for it in your mortal body. It's not your body, but it's your spirit man. And so God is trying to bring us back to this place. I was in a church one time, and the guy was, instead of preaching by the Holy Ghost, he was a good man of God, and he knew his word, wonderful teacher, but what he did was he would imitate people who talk in the Holy Ghost. He would use the voice inflections, but it was in his flesh. And the people were like, okay, because they didn't know the difference. And he would say, oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. No, you don't. I love you, but you're lying right now. There was not. I'd be like. And then he would hype it, and the people would be like, okay. And you know how you know the difference? Your body's weary. You don't feel like it. There's not an anointing. So you're like, he goes, okay, we're going to do the Jericho March. And everybody gets up, and they march. It was a huge church because he'd collected a couple thousand people doing this. I'm not against the guy. He's a good man of God and a good teacher. But he had the people convinced that this was the Holy Spirit, and they didn't know the difference. Now, is it wrong to do a Jericho? No, it's not wrong. But it's a mistake to not know the difference between a program and a relationship. I was talking to a guy on the phone, and I was, you know, fired up because he was asking me for a testimony. And, you know, you can tell when the Holy Spirit is flowing through you. You know the difference. And I won't say I'm perfect, and I won't say he's always flowing through me either. But sometimes I get cranky. Not as cranky as I used to. But he said, you know, I interview people all the time. He said, some people tell their testimony, but he said, you can't feel the Holy Ghost. He said, I sure do feel it right now. So why is that? Because it's not, there's a relationship and a oneness God is striving for with us. He wants us to become one with him as we were born to be. He redeemed us from sin to make us a new creation. So if we continue in the old ways of a program or imitating it or doing it for him because we're doing the best we know, if you ever absolutely failed at something, if you ever read the Bible and it says you're supposed to do this and you think, okay, I'm going to do this, and then your flesh doesn't have the ability, so of course you fail at it, and then you condemn yourself. You ever been there? Yep. Yeah, sure, 1,000 times, I bet. Right? Because we mean well, we love him. It's not that we don't love him. It's not that we don't have good hearts. We want to do what's right, but in our flesh, we don't have the ability. And if you're still trying to make your flesh be good enough, I'm just going to tell you, that's a tough road with a bad ending. Because that's why he died. We didn't have the ability. We don't have the ability to love. We don't have the ability, not like he does. Oh, we can make brownies and take them to our neighbor and smile. The Jehovah's Witnesses can do that. The Mormons can do that. The Muslims can do that. But that isn't the same as the love of God. And so when I saw this, the night he pulled the veil aside, and I saw my heart and went, yuck, I began to pray. And this is, I think, the only way this happens, is when you begin to pray for a change in your heart. I said, man, I need you to change my heart. I need you to change my motives. This isn't right. This is no glory to God. Even if I go out and do the things I'm desiring to do, it's not a glory to you because my motive was stinking. Some people's motive in ministry is to be seen of man, to be recognized as the smart one, the one who's so good at it. And in doing it, they hurt other people. And you know, that is so offensive to God. True dying to self is dying that someone else can live, taking a lower place that someone else can find God when you don't feel like it. Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, and he laid down his life for his friends. When I started to see, look closer at the fruit of the Spirit, I saw something. I saw that the fruits of the Spirit, they basically are the nature of God in manifestation. Love is the He is love. God is love. So if you begin to walk in that fruit, if you begin to manifest it, which I think is only going to come as you begin to pray for him to flow through you, right? But as that happens, you're manifesting him. If you walk in joy and peace, if you walk in the fruits of the Spirit, you are manifesting the nature of God. If you break into the gifts of the Spirit, that's good, but I actually believe we've placed it as a higher priority because it's more flashy and showy, isn't it? But that's not the nature of God. That's like the byproduct. It's by the way stuff. It's what he does. It's his works, the work of his hands. You know, the Bible says that the people knew his works, but Moses knew his ways. We're to know him. And I'm only saying this tonight because I believe our priorities need to change, is what I believe God is showing me. And I'm right there. My priorities need to change. I need to pray more into, well, one of the things, I'll just tell you, one of my personal things lately is sometimes when I would see a certain behavior, a certain thing, I might not say it and I might not show it, but I might have a little bit of a critical attitude, right? That's sin, isn't it? So I've made a request of God and I'm seeking the Lord, instead of, if that thought tries to come, instead of doing that, to immediately stop and pray for the person. Whether I like them, don't like them, know them, don't know them, doesn't matter. I'm trying to become more like my Father, and the only way I know to do is to pray into it. So I feel like God, this is what I believe God wants. He's raised us up as children. He has given, there's an open door, whether you know it or not. People cry out for an open heaven. It's already open. It's been open. Jesus opened it. It's open. There's no such thing as a closed heaven. So people still say, oh, rend the heavens and come down. He did. The dove did it at the time of the baptism of Jesus. The dove came down. And in the book of Acts, the dove came down again in power on the church and has never left. But the church hasn't fully known or embraced what God has. And God is wooing us to come in to a place away from, you know, one of the best ways. We love people. I love good teachers. I listen to teachers. I listen to teachers all the time. I love good, solid teachers. But my real teacher is him. So after I hear stuff, I go to him and say, what do you think about this? Teach me. Talk to me. Give me your wisdom. I open the Bible. I have him teach me through the Word of God. Because I don't want, you know, because there's all kinds of people out there with all kinds of opinions who are very smart, right? I remember in the same week, and I think God was trying to show me something, seeing two men of God who'd served the Lord for decades, and they were both studying the end times. And they were both very confident in their doctrine. And one said, I've been studying this for 25 years, and I'm telling you, this is the way that it is. Within a couple days, here's the other guy. He said, I'm telling you, I've been studying this for 30 years, and this is the way that it is. Two opposite things. And I remember thinking, well, that's what, now what? What that told me, there were good men who were called of God, who were doing the job that they, you know, their best. But what I learned is there's only one person who knows. You know why I got filled with the Spirit? I had friends who were like, that is absolutely not of God. Man, that's speaking in tongues, that's a bad thing. Stay away from that. I had other friends who were like, man, that's the best thing that ever happened to me. Glory, hallelujah. A lot of people would have just picked the friends they liked the best. And I went, you know what? I need to know what you say about this. Father, can you show me your heart on this matter? Within 24 hours, I'm in the book of Acts, and I see the scripture where Peter said, this gift, this promise, talking about the Holy Ghost and the infilling of the Spirit, he said, this promise is to you, he's talking to these people, your children, and all who are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God will call. I thought, well, that puts the end to that whole thing of it was just for the apostles. He said it right there. It's for everybody. Your children is the future generations. Far off, wait, that would be me. So I was able to say, okay, thanks. I wanted to know that. That's how we talk to God. Ask him your honest questions and believe him to show you in the Word or through someone. He'll find a way to get it to you, but he wants to have a relationship. See, he is our master and our Lord. And I fear too many of us go through life being good Christians for him and maybe not even doing what he's really wanting. you know? And I fear I have done that in my life, and I don't want to do that. You know, especially when you get older, you start to have place a greater value on, did I do what you wanted, Father? Or was I just doing what I thought was right? Did I do what you wanted? Edgar said something to me once. Sorry for keep talking about him, but he was brilliant in God. In his older age, you know, he devoted his time to God and to me and to the body of Christ. He had no other interests. And you know what he said to me one time? He said, you know, I did everything. I had a family, had a career. I did all that stuff. He said, in these years, all I want to do is love God and love people and love you. And as I age, I see the same thing. It's like, you know what? Once you've proven who, you know who you are, as you get older, hopefully you come to a place where you kind of know who you are, you've done your stuff, you've proved your whatevers. You don't need everybody to like you anymore. Which is good, because they don't. Hallelujah. Yeah, hallelujah, right? Jesus had enemies. And what's our job? Oh, wait, it's to love them. Oh, right? There's a lot of people, if you're a minister, there's a whole lot of people that they know everything about you, you know. And they really don't. But God loves them. God loves them. God is trying to mature us, I think. From a place of it being about me to it really being about him. And the only way I know is to ask him to convert our heart. That's the only way I know. Amen. Well, I don't know if I should drag you through all these scriptures, but I'll just read a few. You remember in Jude where it talked about love feasts? People coming into love feasts who are kind of bad guys? But listen to this. The expression was actually an agape feast. And it was a feast that was expressing and fostering mutual love, which was held by Christians for the celebration of the Lord's Supper. And at which the poorer Christians mingled with the wealthier. Remember, we're in America, so we don't have these class systems, but they did. And at that time, the Christians were disengaged from the class system because of this agape love. It didn't matter if you were rich or poor. You were to love each other and join together, and it wasn't feigned. The Bible says love should not be feigned. You know what that means? Fake. Don't fake it. Don't, I love you, dear sister. We can't stand you. You know, right? That's not love. In fact, love isn't mushy and gushy. Love is to die for someone when you don't feel like it, you know? I'll leave that there. Jude 1:21, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. Who is the child born of him besides Jesus? Us, all of us. So you may have somebody you don't like in the body, but you still have to love them. Some people in the body are mean, that's okay. Hallelujah. All right, and then I'm just going to read this last scripture, since I did this all out of order anyway. Matthew 24, this is verse 12, because lawlessness, talking about in the end days, lawlessness will be increased. It says, because lawlessness will be increased, most people's agape will grow cold. So we don't want that to happen to us, do we? So let's just say a prayer. Let's just do a prayer. If you want to walk more in love, I'm just going to have us say, Father, in the name of Jesus. In my flesh, I may not love people all the time. But I know that you do. I'm asking you to pour your love through me. Let me receive it. And let me be an open flow of that love to all kinds of people. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. But wait, there's more. So Rachel just texted me across the room over there and says, she sent me the prayer. So here's Edgar's morning prayer. Good morning, Father God. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit.
Thank you for this day and everything that is in it. Be with us, Lord, and deliver us safely to and from our destinations. And Lord, wherever we go, let people see Jesus in us. Let the anointing of Christ be upon us, and let the love of Christ shine through us to all people. Lord, that you would bless us indeed and enlarge our ministry and our territory and our business. Keep your hand upon us to keep us from evil and doing harm. Amen. And Lord, I sincerely pray for the nation of Israel. Please deliver them out of the hands of the enemy and restore them to their rightful place in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. You can download more messages at our store from SpiritofGodWorldwide.com.